CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Bob Conklin said, "To the degree you give others what they need, they will give you what you need." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who give others what they need. Our first Playmakers company impacts 1,200 individuals and their families each and every day, while our next Playmaker launched his career when he was a student at SMU. With us today is a president whose company empowers individuals to live their lives to the fullest, while our next owner and broker helped SMU students find a place to live. These great Playmakers are Tim Mallett. Tim is president of Presbyterian Communities and Services, and Rogers Healy. Rogers is owner and broker of Rogers Healy and Associates Real Estate, and we're going to begin today's show with Rogers. Rogers moved to DFW from South Texas in the early 1990s. His real estate career was launched nearly 15 years ago when he was a student at Southern Methodist University. Now, more than half of SMU students are from out of state, so they constantly found themselves looking for someone to help them find a place to live. For several years, Rogers had the good fortune of being associated with some of the nation's most respected real estate professionals. When the time was right, he pursued his dream of owning his own real estate business. Formed in 2007, Rogers Healy & Associates Real Estate is a personality-driven real estate company. RHA has been built by taking a non-traditional approach to a traditional business. We'll find out all about that. Rogers, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about how you began as a college student at SMU. Students needed a place to live. What did you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those jobs that I didn't really find it. It found me. And like you mentioned, SMU has a lot of people from out of the city, out of the state, even out of the country. And I was always the guy that would kind of guide my friends that played football or my international friends or my people that didn't know Dallas that well to different areas. And then I found out how much money you could make doing an apartment lease and doing a house lease. And so when it came time for me to move out of the fraternity house, I asked my realtor how much money he made ignorantly, and he told me ignorantly. And so that was kind of my jump, and it just kind of happened. And you know, I was able to establish a brand for myself pretty early on and never thought I would do this as a career, but it worked.
You're from Corpus Christi. What was your original intention going to SMU? Did you have a specific major in mind?
No, I think I went to college to get out. And my family moved to Dallas in 95. And in South Texas, you either grew up a Longhorn fan or an Aggie fan. And I was always tried and true SMU. And I didn't mean for that to rhyme. But I grew up an SMU fan, avid. And it was something that it's the only school I applied to. And when I went there, I didn't really have any direction, and I didn't grow up in a family of real estate people. My dad's a life insurance salesman. But yeah, it just kind of fell into it. It was one of those jobs or careers that you realize that everyone needs a place to live, and whoever knows the most amount of everyone usually wins. And you know, I was a good networker from the start and finally applied it to something that had a financial benefit.
Well, we do have a Mustang in the studio then. So you have a personality-driven real estate firm. What do you mean by personality-driven?
Yeah, so it starts off, I think, with my own personality. And, you know, working in as old school of a business as real estate, you can kind of get sucked into the ways that everyone else has done it. And it's obviously worked out well. But for me, I've usually done things renegade style. And I started my company, and I kind of did it the same way I was trained. And then I just had a light bulb moment when I had my turning point as a man. And when I did that, I just started really infusing my own personality, my own humor, my own tactics, my own marketing, et cetera. And that's when everything started to change. But yeah, our company slogan is real estate with personality, which is taken multiple ways. One is we actually have personality in real estate. But secondly is the properties that we market, whether they're commercial or residential, are fairly unique properties, so they have personality of their own as well.
If you don't think Rogers Healy & Associates has personality, go to their website, and there's a video right there. You'll see immediately, just looking at the video, there's some kind of personality there. You're also non-traditional. From what you said with personality-driven, is that what you mean by non-traditional, or is there more that goes along with that?
Yeah, so when I started, I didn't realize how much it would actually cost to run a business, and even more so how much it would cost to market a listing.
Because I used to be naive.
Yeah. I mean, and really just ignorant. And I've never been one to ask for help until I was drowning. And so when I realized how much it costs to do a traditional marketing piece, be it a magazine ad or a newspaper ad, I was really quick to jump into social media. And so I was the first realtor in the country to do Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, et cetera. And through that, you could go and market your personality, and you can go and do it your way. And it's different as opposed to just a tangible piece of product versus something you see online. You only have a half a second to get someone's attention. So, yeah, we did it pretty quickly, and it was risky. It worked out and caught a lot of flack for it, especially from fellow realtors that don't work at my company. But I'm glad we took the approach we did.
Well, as I've told people, they only throw snowballs at people that wear top hats. And if you do something different, they're going to get criticized. Doesn't mean you're wrong. Just get criticized.
Yeah, I got thick skin pretty early.
Now, a lot of companies will give away things. For instance, coffee mugs. That's a big thing. You gave away T-shirts. Tell us that story.
Yeah, so I was a marketing major or an advertising major at SMU. Again, just probably because there was cute girls in the class and it didn't require math. But I'm glad that I did it, and I learned the importance and the theory behind branding pretty quickly. And back when Urban Outfitters started coming on the scenes, they came out with a T-shirt that said, "Jesus is my homeboy." And as a Christian man, I was like, this is really cool. Worst case scenario, someone who doesn't believe in Jesus is still going to wear it. It's good exposure. And it was kind of mocking it in a sense, but it was trendy. And in our business as realtors, it's not necessarily the most original marketing. It's bus stops, phone books, and Phil Dunphy. And so my idea was to mock it all together, and I got these T-shirts printed up that said, "Rogers Healy is my realtor," and it had like a smiling house on it. And I lived in L.A. for a while, did the acting thing, made some good connections out there. So I got these T-shirts made, and I mailed them out to my quote-unquote celebrity friends, and lo and behold, Britney Spears got a hold of it the week that she went AWOL. Or Haywire, and I was in People Magazine and a bunch of trendy blogs and websites, and it just kind of took off. So I was able to go and kind of capitalize on the cheesy factor of my industry and do it where I made it kind of cool, and like a T-shirt turned into something that built my brand fairly quickly.
And that was very inexpensive for what you got out of the exposure.
Sure, yeah. And I ended up selling a bunch too, all over the country, all over the world actually.
All of a sudden they become something you want to have. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Britney Spears was not even a client of yours at the time. Is that correct?
She
received it from one of your clients. Is that
right?
That what happened?
Yeah, so one of my closest friends was her cousin, who they lived together, and I didn't know they were cousins until I called her. I was like, why is she, I mean, thank you, but how is Britney in my shirt and when she's getting her head shaved the week that she's going crazy? She goes, oh yeah, that's my cousin. I was like, all right, well, I'm glad I called that guy. But yeah, I'd never met her up to that point, and we ended up dating for about a year and a half after. Just kidding. So yeah, no, never met her.
Never know what can happen when you do marketing. We're in Dallas, Texas. This is a very competitive real estate market. You're competing against some of your former colleagues and some very strong real estate firms. How do you compete against them with the other realtors having a lot more experience than Rogers, Healy & Associates?
Yeah, so great question. And the good news is this is now my 15th year in the business. So I'd like to say that my personal experience level can probably compete with the top agents in DFW just based off time in the game. But we train rigorously at my company. And as a top agent in the city, I'm the one that actually leads the training. So they're learning fairly quickly, whether they've done it for a week or 20 years, 30 years. But, you know, it really is. Being a realtor is just a popularity contest. And at the end of the day, I mean, it's a popularity contest and it's a marketing contest. But at the end of the day, you work with who you like. And that was something I learned the hard way starting out, is that I just wanted everyone to work with me and for me. And then I realized that a certain type of person clicks with me. So, you know, there's enough to go around, but also the beauty of what I'm doing, what I've done, what I'm going to continue to do, is that the gap between my company and the other big boys in DFW, you know, I'm almost positioned to go and do something a little bit more special than I have before. And I'm very aware of that. But yeah, you know, it's fun. It keeps it competitive. And there's a reason that there's a mattress firm across the street from a mattress giant, is that they feed off that. And if it was just me, it wouldn't be that much fun.
So is there anything other than what you just mentioned that sets you apart from some of the older, more established firms?
Yeah. I really do think it's the personality, and I think people are attracted. Like my favorite kind of agent that works for me is someone that probably wouldn't have done real estate if it wasn't for me. And that's my story. And a lot of people get into real estate because it's a generational career. Their mom did it. Their dad did it. Their family just owns real estate. But for me, it really was something that just stumbled upon my lap. And if I can go and help people take an approach, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And this is a very traditional industry, but I think I have a responsibility on me to go and help not save it, but just continue to breathe life into it, because there really is like my mom's friends and then there's me. So, yeah, it's just a different approach, and I lead with heart, and my company is faith-based, and I think people appreciate that no matter what their faith is because it's very comfortable. And if they come from another real estate company, normally there's a lot of drama. We don't do drama. And it's not about money. It's about people being fulfilled and being happy. And so it's finally worked. But I had to believe my own press for the first 7 or 8 years of owning my own company.
Well, it's a big difference going from being a real estate agent to becoming a real estate broker, hanging a shingle out and attracting people to you.
Right.
Were there any ahas you got or anything that you didn't know you needed to do, if looking back, that you should have done once you started your business?
Yeah, you know, I tend to live in fear, which I think is good for being a business owner. But the stuff that I did my first few years is I didn't practice vulnerability. And I went through a life-changing event that just kind of exposed me and made me very raw to people that didn't know me. And I used that, I don't want to say I capitalized on it, but I capitalized on it as an individual because I was just able to truly be myself. And when you're running a company and you're recruiting and you're managing and you're marketing, it's easy to go and turn corporate. And I was kind of headed that way. And in my mind, I was kind of turning into a sellout. And then God kind of stopped me in my tracks and changed me. But yeah, you know, I just think that my approach, I don't want to say I don't care, but like I really don't. And I mean that in the most loving sense. I mean, the people that tend to just work themselves to the bone normally don't come out on top. And I've just kind of treated it like a family, and it's worked.
So what's next for Roger Healy and Associates?
Well, Roger's Healy and Associates.
Roger's Healy
and Associates.
Just
kidding.
I'm kidding.
I'm joking. You're not the first. It's just to keep going. And, you know, we've been blessed to grow all over DFW, and we've done some stuff too. I have another company called Healy Relocation, which is now global. And then we started doing property management about 7 years ago. But I'm an opportunist, and I think the easiest way to make money is to create an opportunity. And so being ingrained in this business like I am, I'm exposed to a lot of opportunity. But it's just to keep doing it. And again, I there's reasons, like the travel agency business got murdered by Travelocity, and Blockbuster Video got murdered by Netflix. There's a reason that real estate is still around. And I feel like I've been called to kind of help be a voice, to continue it on. So yeah, I don't have a master plan, just to keep doing what I'm doing, make sure my people that work for me are happy, our clients are happy, and the bills are paid.
Well, Terribly, tell everybody where they can find Real Estate with Personality on the internet.
Yeah, you can go to our website, Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S, Healy.com, H-E-A-L-Y, and on social media, our social media handles are R-H-A-D-F-W, and we're pretty accessible on Google and as well as social media. So yeah, we'd love for you guys to check us out.
And the website also is on PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Rogers, thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show. You are a playmaker.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Rogers Healy is the owner and broker of Rogers Healy and Associates Real Estate, in addition to a few other real estate firms he has. Don't go away. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to speak with the president of Presbyterian Communities and Services. His name is Tim Mallett. Back with Tim right after this.
Operation Kindness is the original and largest no-kill animal shelter in North Texas, having saved more than 80,000 cats and dogs over almost 40 years. On a day-to-day basis, Operation Kindness cares for approximately 300 cats and dogs, with another 150 in foster homes. In the past 12 months, more than 4,200 homeless cats and dogs have received medical care, clean shelter, nutritious food, and playtime until they were adopted into a new forever home. Go to OperationKindness.org to adopt or foster a dog or cat. Donate or volunteer. That's OperationKindness.org.
Wipe Out Kids Cancer is a Dallas-based nonprofit organization founded in 1980 dedicated to raising awareness and funding for pediatric cancer research on a national basis. Wipe Out Kids Cancer has raised over $4 million in the crusade against pediatric cancer and spent over 30 years developing programs to not only fight childhood cancer, but to also provide hope and support to kids and families battling cancer. Our mission is to work relentlessly for a day when children are living cancer-free. You can help make a difference. Go to WOKC.org to donate or volunteer. That's WOKC.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to speak with Tim Mallett. Tim joined Dallas-based Presbyterian Communities and Services this March. It's a premier continuing care retirement set of communities, including Presbyterian Village North and Grace Presbyterian Village, as well as Faith Presbyterian Hospice and the T. Boone Pickens Hospice and Palliative Care Center. Presbyterian Communities and Services is a faith-based, not-for-profit organization which fulfills its mission of empowering individuals to live their lives to the fullest. With a 79-year shared legacy, Presbyterian Communities and Services was established in 2008 to join the two continuing care retirement communities and hospice organizations. A resident of Dallas, Tim brings nearly 30 years of senior living experience. He joined Presbyterian Communities and Services from Irving-based Greystone Communities, where he most recently served as first vice president. Well, Tim, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
You're a Michigander. And how's a Michigander getting his BA from Wayne State University in Detroit find his way to DFW?
Well, it's actually an interesting story. I had started working in retirement communities while I was still in college, and I heard news they were developing a retirement community in Dearborn, Michigan, and that was right in my backyard. Applied, got a job, and the company that was developing it was Texas-based. And over a five-year period, I got to know the folks in the company very well, and it was recommended that I take a look at a very troubled community in Virginia. And I had a cousin who just happened to live about 30 miles outside of it, and I thought, it's a great way to get a free ticket to see my cousin and also get to see another retirement community. Well, lo and behold, I took the job, and that was with Greystone Communities, and from there moved to another challenging situation in Florida. Complained a lot about the heat in Florida, and somehow got transferred to Dallas. If I came in the fall, if I would have only known what summer was going to be like, I might still be in Florida. That was almost 22 years ago.
But then again, the heat in Dallas, you don't have to shovel as compared to the snow in Michigan.
Correct. But it comes in buckets nonetheless.
That's right. It does. It does. At least you can go inside and there's air conditioning. So what is Presbyterian Communities and Services? What makes the firm and the mission unique?
Well, I think you did a good job in your description earlier. It is really a group of organizations that are here to serve residents of the Metroplex through retirement communities as well as hospice services. I think the unique thing about the organization is it is faith-based. So if you have a faith-based not-for-profit platform, that allows you to focus on the mission and the ability to serve.
I would think that this is a great time to be working with an organization like this, if nothing else, thinking of baby boomers who are hitting retirement age, and many are still able to do everything they want to do. They're retiring, but they want a place to live. So tell us what you're doing to attract this type of an audience, or do you attract that kind of group to
Certainly, the baby boomers are just turning 70 this year. So the first group started turning 70, and ironically, they're still working, and they're preparing for retirement. But the industry as a whole has been changing. The old model was very much a model where it was care-based, and an individual moved in, and they continued through on a linear path through skilled nursing. And I would say in the last decade, in preparation for the baby boomers and the new consumer, it has become much more of a hospitality-based environment with a person staying in place and being able to choose from a palliative services. So it's not just somebody going through a linear experience. The experience is coming to them.
So these are people that are free to do what they want to do. You provide food for them, I would think, in a restaurant-type setting, yet they can also eat in their room. Is that correct?
Well, they can. It wouldn't be eating in their room. It would be having room service with a full menu and perhaps a little alcohol coming that way as well. So it's very much a hospitality experience. So if you can imagine staying in the finest hotel and having that array of services available to you. So going out when you'd like, staying in when you wish.
Well, let's talk about that commitment to hospitality. You've been in the business for a number of years. You've worked with a couple of different companies. How has that changed since you got into the business?
Again, as I said earlier, it was very much more of a custodial model where you provided services and someone signed up and they got A through Z and it was in a contract. And as the industry evolved into hospitality, it became much more of an experience-based model.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, exactly. So you're a participant in an experience. You're not just receiving services. You know, each day is memorable. Each day is enjoyable. And completely different than something you would have seen 10 or 15 years ago, where you got, as you said, the meals, the housekeeping, the transportation. Now you're very much in charge of how that experience is, and you participate in having it happen and how it's delivered.
Well, along with the hospitality, you also have a standalone hospice center currently under construction. Talk about that and how that ties in with a retirement community.
It ties in a couple of different ways. This approach is very unique. Dallas does not have an inpatient hospice center. This is something that's going to be new to the Metroplex. It is unique from an architectural standpoint. It is situated, if you can imagine, on a pond with all of the rooms facing the pond. Each of the rooms has a balcony so that somebody who is sick can be out with nature when weather permits, obviously. It also has a resource training center so that if somebody is in a transitional phase in caring for a loved one, all of the training that's associated with that can happen on site, and it very much fulfills our continuum. Hospice services are very personal. I mean, it's the most personal of the experience that we've talked about. And finally, there's a place where someone can be very much in control of that experience.
And something we do not want to look forward to. Well, you have four different locations, I believe, including the new one under construction. Talk about each one and where they're located.
Grace Presbyterian, which would be the oldest of the three, or the founding member, shall we say. It was built in 1962 and is in Oak Cliff. Presbyterian Village North actually came out of the Presbyterian Health System and was opened around 1982. Faith Hospice is an offshoot of Grace, and then the T. Boone Pickens Hospice and Palliative Care Center is an offshoot of Faith. So the three, Faith Hospice, T. Boone Pickens Hospice, and Presbyterian Village North, are all located in North Dallas.
Okay. So you have those available too. And again, we're speaking with Tim Mallett. Tim is the new president of Presbyterian Communities and Services. Their website is prescs.org if you'd like to find out more about the locations. Why is this really a pivotal time for Presbyterian Communities and Services? What's going on that brought you in to take control?
Throughout my career, I've always focused on openings and growth, and the Board of Presbyterian Communities and Services is focused on future growth. And when I began talking to the organization, I was surprised at just the depth of the market in Dallas that Presbyterian Communities and Services serves. They want to do it right, they want to do it well, and they want to grow the mission. And it was a perfect alignment for the two of us. So very exciting.
Well, with the first one opening up in 1962, that must have been one of the very first of its kind in the Dallas area. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It was very much a grassroots effort by the community to address the needs. And they were very forward-thinking in their mission and allowed an organization to be structured that could grow and evolve into what it is today.
Well, you weren't planning on getting into this industry when you were in school. This kind of evolved over time, but you've developed a lot of passion. How did that happen along the way? How has this become your mission now in life?
Well, it was very interesting. I think it's a very good story. When I was in college, I really had my mindset to have a marketing public relations career, and I had a friend who graduated a semester ahead of me, and she was doing a newsletter in a retirement community, asked me to take her job for 3 months, which I did not want to do. And what she was doing is she was interviewing residents as a spotlight for a newsletter in a retirement community. Not only did that 3 months turn into nearly 30 years, but the stories I heard and the people I met on that journey, I probably interviewed 75 people, people from, that had survived the Holocaust, survived World War II, became successful after the Great Depression, and it had a profound impact on me and made me really who I am today.
So those interviews, they were teaching you what you were going to get into.
Yeah, hindsight being 2020, I did not realize it at the time, but they were not just inspirational, they were aspirational, because I realized if I worked hard and I stuck to the course, that success could be mine and could be the organization. So it was it was the best education I've ever had.
Well, you have done something as far as developing skills. If Presbyterian found you during the search, and you are now running Presbyterian Communities and Services, but have there been any playmaking moves in your career where all of a sudden you knew this was it?
I think that you've touched on it throughout the conversation. That was the transition to a hospitality-based platform. It transformed my day and the way I conduct business, and it's transformed the lives of the people that I serve, or we serve.
What's the future? You're obviously developing the T. Boone Pickens hospice care facility, but where do you go from here?
Well, we've got Oak Cliff, which is exciting. We're going to a master planning process for that. Currently expanding and in a master plan for Presbyterian Village North, and we're looking at what opportunities exist in the future. Dallas is a growing market. It's an exciting place to be, and there's still room for more people to serve seniors, and we'd like to be the preferred provider in the area.
And with the boomers getting older, there'll be a lot more seniors as the boomers get older than ever before.
More every day.
Being in this business, as you mentioned before, this is a great market to be in. Are there any specific changes coming up over the next couple of years outside of the T. Boone Pickens facility? In addition to the 1,200 you have, how large a community do you think you'll have? How many potential customers, clients you think you'll have as you grow?
Of course, I like to think big, and I would say it's limitless. I'd have to talk to my board and see what their appetite is. I can't specifically say how much we'll grow, but we will grow. The demographics are clearly in our favor. If you look at the number of seniors in the Metroplex, it's staggering. The change that is occurring, and it's already started, is there's increased competition, and there are a lot of small for-profits coming in. And we have a great, opportunity and obligation to educate the market regarding what a true CCRC is and what a not-for-profit faith-based sponsor can provide to them.
Well, tell everybody how they can find out more about your communities.
www.prescs.org.
Well, Tim, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. You are a playmaker.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Tim Mallett is president of Presbyterian Communities and Services. Our first segment, we had Rogers Healy. Rogers is owner and broker of Rogers Healy & Associates Real Estate. This has been a terrific show. Thanks to our Playmakers. It's been great having them on the show and you listening. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. We're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.